with Brother Bill Freeman in Bellevue, Washington, June 2, 1984. The title is The Realm of Life and Transparent Relationships in God's Building. The verses are as follows: Revelation chapter 21, verse 9b through 11, 18b, 21b, and chapter 22, verse 1. John chapter 13, verse 1 and 3 through 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 30. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Acts chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 18. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 13.
From our fellowship last night, I do believe it's so good for us to see how wonderful, how marvelous this matter of transparency is. From the revelation in the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, we can see the vision of transparency. By seeing the holy city coming down out of God from heaven, expressing God, having the glory of God, pure gold, crystal clear, transparent glass. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everything about that city is transparent.
Amen.
So that there's no opaqueness, no darkness, no walls, nothing frustrating. But God is purely expressed in a transparent building. And this shows us the consummation of all of God's work, showing us His building work ends in a holy city. And the unique characteristic of that holy city is its transparency, where God is expressed in a pure way. And this expression is the mingling of God with man, so that God and man are mingled together. God is in man and man is in God. Everything there is transparent, so that when you see the city, it says you don't see a temple there because the Lord God is the temple.
Amen.
That means He has saturated every part. Every part is saturated with Himself, making everything so crystal clear, so transparent. So this gives us a clear vision of God's heart's desire today in building us together in all the churches. And that is to make us transparent. Because this transparency is God's expression. If there's no transparency, God could never be expressed. If among us we are opaque, dark, hidden, closed, no fellowship in spirit one with another, God could never be expressed. God's expression today on this earth is a corporate expression through a group of people who are living in this transparency, which happens to be God Himself. Even the city, its very substance, its essence, is pure gold. And it says, pure gold as pure glass. This means the substance and the essence of this building, this city, is just the divine nature, which is just God Himself. So this transparency is not a natural transparency. It's the divine nature. It's this pure gold, which is what signifies the divine nature in the Bible. So we could see this is God's goal today. Praise the Lord. It's just this transparency. And so it's so good for us to have this time to have concentrated fellowship about the matter of transparency and transparent relationships one with another. This is our burden, that the Lord would speak to us and even by this fellowship, bring in more and more of Himself, making us all more transparent.
Amen.
For His building.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So it's so good for us to see the vision of the holy city, showing us the vision of transparency, that it's not just a small thing. It's not just another little point among a number of points. But God's ultimate consummation ends in a holy city that is described as being a transparent city. Pure gold, crystal clear. So this is God's expression. And then, how crucial is the matter of transparency in order that we might get more of God's dispensation. Because we saw last night from Revelation and verse 21, or chapter 21 and verse 21b, it says the street is pure gold as transparent glass. So when you examine the street described as pure gold, but it's pure gold as transparent glass. So that means the street, the one way in the city is a transparent street. And then on that transparent street, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, there's the river of the water of life. That means the Spirit coming to us, reaching us, the triune God flowing, is flowing on the street of transparency. So not only is the water transparent, crystal clear, but the street, the way that flow is transmitted and communicated is on the street of transparency. This is a big principle, showing us that it's in the realm of transparent relationships that God is communicated to us. I could testify in my experience over the years with brothers and sisters, the most transparent fellowships that I've had with saints has been the means where more of God was communicated into my being. The less transparent, the less of God. The more transparent, the more of God. Because He delights in transparency. So, transparency means God is being communicated to us. This is the way God is communicated. In this openness, this fellowship, one with another in the church life, God is transmitted to our being in transparency. This in itself should give us an aspiration to renounce every hidden thing of shame. To renounce everything blocking the transparency. Just like Paul said, beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit, so that God is being transfused into our being. And then he says, seeing therefore that we have this ministry of imparting God into people by being in the Lord's presence, enjoying Him, beholding Him, getting transformed by His element. This is our ministry, he says. This is our ministry. It is just to enjoy God, to be filled with God, and to transmit God. This is our ministry. Seeing we have this ministry, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. And notice what he says, the hidden things of shame. This means every blockage, everything that makes us opaque, any hidden thing of shame that frustrates the flowing of the Lord, Paul says, we have renounced. That means dealing with every kind of hindrance so that we will remain transparent. So the flow will never be restricted. Either imparting the flow or receiving the flow. So more of God is communicated in the realm of transparency. This is why when we confess, when we apologize, when we open up and contact the Lord together and drop every kind of opaque thing, there's just a gush of the divine life. There's just a flow of the divine life because God is communicated on the street of transparency. Praise the Lord. So these two points we need to see so clearly. That transparency is God's expression. And transparency is the way God is communicated. So if we want more of God, we need to be on this street. This pure gold street that is like transparent glass. Praise the Lord. Now tonight, we want to fellowship about the realm of life and transparent relationships in God's building. Praise the Lord. This whole realm of life in its relationship to transparent relationships in God's building. We know the Lord today is building us. That means He's relating us. And we have a unique relationship, one with another, in the church. There's no other relationships like the relationships in the church. No society has such a special and unique relationship. This is not a club. This is not a political society. This is not a school. This is the house of God. This is the church of the living God. God lives among us. This is His home. This is His dwelling place. He's dwelling in us. We are a habitation of God in spirit. And that word habitation is the same word that is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 that says that Christ would make His home in your hearts through faith. There it's in a verbal form showing that Christ settles down, makes His home in our hearts through faith. That's the word in Ephesians 3. Making home, settling down. But in Ephesians 2, it's in another form. And there it says that we are a habitation of God in spirit. This means we are a settling down of God. God is settling down. God is homing. Where? In our relationships with one another. God is homing. God is settling down, making His home in us, in spirit, in our relationships one with another. How about God settling down in our relationships? Praise the Lord. Not just visiting our relationships, but settling down in our relationships with one another. It's like we all could relate to our relationships with our husband and wife, living together day by day. We could kind of look back in our relationships and say, God visited us at points and settled a little bit in our relationship with one another because we were in spirit. We were transparent. So God was able to come into our relationship with one another. But then we so easily get back into ourself, into our mind, and then it's like God has not settled down in our relationships one with another. So His desire is for a homing, God making His home, this kind of a habitation, a real homing of the triune God in our relationships one with another in His building in spirit, so that our relationships are solid. He settles down in our relationships and the gates of Hades cannot prevail. Praise the Lord. So we realize here in the church we have the most unique relationships. God is among us, with us. And so there's not a thing we think, there's not a thing we say, and there's not a thing we do that does not involve God. There's not a thing in our relationships that does not involve the triune God. So that we have to see that everything is very sensitive in the church. Paul says in Ephesians 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit by any kind of bitterness or any kind of speaking or any kind of insulation that comes. He uses the term, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Then look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, no, verse 3, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace, one body and one Spirit. Then verse 5, one Lord. Then verse 6, one God and Father of all. So here we are, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and the body. And then keeping the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that here we could see, we are all involved with the oneness of the triune God. So that our relationships with one another are not casual, they're not common, they're not low, they're not in the old creation, they're absolutely in the triune God. So that everything involves God. That's why relationships are so critical in the church life, because everything involves God. Our relationship with one another affects our relationship with the Lord. And our relationship with the Lord is all bound up in our relationship with one another. If something goes wrong in our relationships between one another, something has gone wrong with our relationship with God. You must read number 34 of the life study from Brother Lee, where he speaks in the paragraph called the one fellowship. There's not two fellowships. Our own fellowship with the Lord and then a fellowship with the brothers and sisters. He makes it very clear that there's only one fellowship. And our fellowship with the brothers and sisters, listen, these are his very words. Our fellowship with the brothers is part of our fellowship with God. These are the words Brother Lee uses. Our fellowship with the brothers is part of our fellowship with God. We don't have two separate fellowships, one fellowship with God and then another fellowship with the saints. We only have one fellowship. And this fellowship moves vertical and horizontal. But it's one fellowship. So that's why when we are at odds with any member of the body, and if there's any kind of insulation between us and a member, immediately our touch with the Lord is affected. And it means that something has come in to interfere with our contact with God. If something has come in my relationship with another member. So we can see our relationships in the church are surely not common. In the world, you can be political. In the world, you can just sweep things under the rug and go on. And many churches are this way today. Many denominations are this way. There's a lot of backbiting, a lot of gossip, a lot of talk, a lot of offenses between the members. And yet, on Sunday morning, they still sing, the choir sings, the preacher preaches. And they go through all the motions, but there's no reality. So we can see today the Lord must gain on this earth, among all the churches, such a transparency. Where there's a group of people who have the realization that their relationship with one another is as important as their relationship with God. Because our relationship with God is bound up in our relationships one with another. That's why Ephesians 4 mingles the triune God with the one body. The one body is the embodiment of the oneness of the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The oneness of the triune God is embodied in the one body. So no wonder he says, be diligent, be quick to keep the oneness of the Spirit. And the practical oneness of the Spirit is maintained in the bond of peace. That peace between us. That which holds us together. Where the peace of Christ is arbitrating in our hearts. Where we've been called into one body. So that between us, there's a subjective element in our relationships. That we can read. And that we can measure and see where we are with each other. And that is the peace. The peace between us. This bond of peace, that which holds the body together in reality, is this bond of peace. This peace of Christ that arbitrates in our hearts. So, it's by this that we go on. Keeping the peace, maintaining the peace, checking the peace, taking care of the peace, babying the peace, watching over the peace. Don't disturb the peace. Your mind disturbs it. Your feelings will disturb it. Your frown will disturb it. Your thinking will disturb it. Anything can come in to disturb this bond of peace. That which holds us in such a real relationship together in the triune God. So what a place the church is. Oh, what a habitation. And how high our relationships are with one another. And this goes for every young brother and sister. It goes for every family relationship in the home between flesh brothers and sisters, where it's so easy to live natural and to live fleshly and to live with resentments and harsh words. And this really destroys the reality of God's building. Where the home life does not match the meeting life. And the meeting life is one thing, and the home life is another thing. So that if our home life is not the same as our meeting life, then the meeting life is just a pretense. The church life and the meeting life should just be an expression of our home life. So that our home life is the crucial thing. In our relationships with those that are closest to us in spirit. So that if there's reality in our daily living, then surely all the meetings will be full of reality. But if in our home life we never get to the Spirit, for sure it's sometimes hard to get to the Spirit in the meetings. So we have to see that if our home life is in the Spirit, our meeting life is just an overflow. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we could see this has to do very much with our relationships one with another. So this matter of God's habitation with our relationships one with another is special. And it's in a unique realm. It's in the realm of life. The realm of life is where God's building is. And the realm of life is where the transparent relationships are. It's in this realm. And this is our burden tonight, to fellowship about this realm. So let's first look at John chapter 13 again. John chapter 13, concerning the matter of foot washing. In John 13, the Lord loved the disciples to the uttermost. And that uttermost love was expressed by His washing their feet. And the Lord's word spoken to them, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So this foot washing is something that is out from the Lord Himself and is something that is a must in our relationships one with another, to wash one another's feet. And this is something in the realm of life. This is in the realm of life. The Lord went to wash the dirt off the feet of the disciples and said to do it one to another. This signifies to minister life one to another in a transparent way. This is the significance of this foot washing. And the Lord says, unless He does it to us, unless we do it to one another, then we don't have part with each other. We're organic. We're members one of another. So we need to minister this life and have transparent relationships one with another in the realm of life to keep and preserve and maintain the fellowship between us. As we pointed out last night, this foot washing is to maintain the fellowship. We need it to maintain the unrestricted fellowship in the realm of life. If we don't have the foot washing and we all remain dirty, then there's an insulation, there's a film, there's something blocking that sweet fellowship. So we need the foot washing. And this chapter, 13, is very close to what the Lord speaks, or to what Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 5. We read the verses 25 through 30 that says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Then it says, that He might sanctify her, cleansing her, by the washing of the water in the Word. By the washing of the water in the Word, to remove what? All the spots and wrinkles. That's like removing the dirt. Removing all the defects in order for the church to be so glorious, so transparent, full of God's expression. It needs the washing of the water in the Word. And this word is the word rhema, or rhema. So the washing here is related to the washing of the water in the rhema, the spoken word. So this means the ministry of life through the spoken word. And this is how we wash one another's feet. It is by the ministry of life, one to another, by this rhema. This is the washing of the water in this rhema, the spoken word. Now we know, on the one hand, this applies to the Lord speaking to us. His inner speaking. This inner rhema, this speaking of the Lord that we have in our being day by day. By following this speaking, we get sanctified and we get cleansed. But listen, in the New Testament, this speaking is also coming from the members of the body. The Lord went and told Peter, go stand in the temple and speak all the rhema of this life. All the words of this life. In other words, go stand, you speak all the words of this life. So, in washing one another's feet, it is this transparent relationship with one another where we are speaking rhema to one another. We're speaking the Lord's words to one another. And our feet get washed and the fellowship is maintained. Brothers and sisters, all during the day we can speak rhema to one another. Even in this chapter preceding these verses, it says speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This indicates that we are speaking to one another. And the context of speaking to one another, being filled in spirit, strictly speaking, the context is the family life and the home life daily. Although we've applied it to the church meetings, it says, be filled in spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming to your heart, in your heart to the Lord. And then right away, it goes in to wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. So that the context of this speaking is not just strictly a speaking in the meetings, it's a speaking in our daily living. It's a rhema in our daily living. So you just consider, when we speak rhema to one another in our daily living, in our home life, this is how our feet get washed. You just consider how much rhema could be spoken in one day. Just living together in the realm of life. And how much our feet could be washed to maintain the fellowship of life. Some years ago, I surely experienced the rhema coming from a brother. I was frustrated, I was confused, and I was fighting the church. I was in my mind. And this was when we first touched the church. And I just didn't seem to have a way to go on. So I prayed desperately for the Lord to show me something. So one evening, without any notification, a brother made a visit to me. He hadn't seen me for 8 months, hadn't talked to me, no communication for 8 months. Brother Samuel Chang from the church in Los Angeles. And he came to my home unannounced at 8 o'clock in the evening when I was just about ready to leave. And I poured out all my frustration to him, all my complaints and all my confusion. And he just listened and didn't say anything. And then after I finished and ran out of words, had nothing else to say, he just spoke a few words of rhema. And he washed the dirt away instantly. By just saying to me, brother, if the Lord is not satisfied, you will never be satisfied. But if the Lord is satisfied, you will be satisfied. So after I poured out all my confusions and why I was so dissatisfied, he just spoke a clear, subjective word. That the reason I was not satisfied was because the Lord was not satisfied. And that I was kicking against the pricks. And Brother Samuel Chang, with just a few sentences, washed my feet. And all the dirt was washed away. And the fellowship was maintained with the churches. So we could see, this is the washing of the feet. It's being transparent one with another, according to the truth, putting off the falsehood. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and that marvelous verse in verse 25 that says, wherefore, having put off the falsehood, speak truth each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This definitely indicates not just to put off lying. Sometimes when we read this verse and when we've read it in the past, we've only associated this with put off lying, like telling lies. But the word here implies more than that. Even the way the brothers translate it is the proper expression. Put off the falsehood. Everything that's not real, that's opaque, that's not life. Put off politics. Put off niceness. Put off outward behavior. Put off our culture in terms of its social ways of relating. Put off all the falsehood. Today, what is so characteristic about society is falsehood. Everybody is plastic. Not real. False. So you have thousands of psychologists and psychiatrists for people to finally get real a little bit and to open up. A kind of a escape hatch for the human nature. So we can see this is so characteristic in relationships today. Falsehood. But in the church, we are related in the realm of life. In the realm of life. So everything else is falsehood. Speak the truth the reality one to another, for we are members one of another. And how are we members? We're members in life. We're members in the realm of life. So that's why we have to put off all the falsehood and stay in the realm of life and practice this foot washing so that we have a way for the Lord to build us up as His building and His habitation. It is by staying together in the realm of life and relating together in the realm of life. Then we need to see, along with the foot washing, that our transparent relationships in God's building, and to have them, is definitely related to our experiences of life. Our experiences of life are the way we are transparently related. For example, if we do not have the experiences of life, then it's impossible for us to have transparent relationships one with another. And this is related to all the different aspects of the experiences of life. From finding our spirit. We have to locate our spirit. We have to be a person to get to the Lord in a life way by knowing our spirit. This is a definite experience of life. Many of us could testify one day we discovered our spirit. We discovered that Christ was living in our spirit. And we could contact Him by releasing our spirit, calling upon the Lord, touching Him, so that we experience the Lord's flowing life by contacting our spirit. If we don't have this kind of experience, the experience of life in contacting our spirit and discovering our spirit, it's impossible to be in transparent relationships. Because the realm we're in is the realm of life. And life is in the spirit. And if we're not in the spirit, there's no life. So we have to see that this makes us so transparent, one with another, is to be in the experience of life in terms of our spirit. It includes consecration. It includes dealing with the past. It includes those experiences of life that are foundational for us to go on with the Lord. Whereby we're a person that has concluded our past. If we have evil things, Ouija boards, evil magazines, things that represent our old life, and we have not had the experience of life in concluding our past and dealing with all the evil things, then this causes some insulation in our transparent relationships with the members of the body. Because the members of the body are related together in the realm of life. And this means the experiences of life. So that's why when any saint coming to the church life, newly saved, begins to deal with the Lord concerning their past, the issue of that is just a flowing out and a transparency that comes with the members of the body. That was not that way before. It came by passing through a dealing with the Lord. This is not just a kind of turn-on type of thing. Let's be transparent. No, it's not that way. This transparency is something that is among us because of our experiences of life. And God makes His home and settles down in our relationships higher and higher, deeper and deeper, as we are passing through the different kinds of experiences of life. Every experience of life in dealing with something, dealing with money, or dealing with a relationship, or dealing with our ambitions, and dealing with our goals, or dealing with any aspect of our living. These dealings and passing through them make us transparent spontaneously. But if there's no dealings, that means we're a person that is suppressing the speaking of the Lord, making us live in unreality. Because we have the Lord's inward speaking to deal with the negative things and to deal with the frustrating things. Maybe your relationship with another person is a frustration. For example, some come into the church and have had old relationships where someone is unsaved. And coming to the church, there's the sense and the consciousness that to go on with the Lord, I've got to break that relationship. I've got to cut it off. There's no way I can go on with the Lord and go on with that unsaved person in that same state. You see? That dealing in that person will automatically usher them in to the reality of the building. So we could see that to be in the realm of life is to be in the realm of the experiences of life. And this is what produces the transparent relationships. I'm just describing experience here. This is just commentary on all of our experience. That the more we deal with the Lord, the more we're excited about the members of the body. And the more we are receiving from the members of the body. In my experience, the deeper I've dealt with the Lord in dealing with anything, the more it just fine-tunes me to the members and to receiving from the members and having a transparent communication of God from the members. It's by my experiences of dealing with the Lord, passing through all the dealings from the world to this age, having dealings over these kind of things, definitely propel us into a transparent relationship one with another. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, this is the realm that we're talking about. We're talking about the realm of life where there are the experiences of life, and this brings in the transparent relationships one with another in an automatic way, in a spontaneous way. So that there is a real communication of God one to another. And even in our dealings with the Lord, there's a particular communication of God. When we are open to other members of the body who have passed through dealings that we're presently passing through. Some that have had to deal with the Lord in relationships. Some with money. Others with goals and jobs. Some brothers with jobs. Not being able to take certain jobs because that job would usurp you. That job would just propel you into the wrong realm and even expose you to some devilish things. Some brothers have not been able to take some jobs, you see. So I may be a brother confronted with this problem. What a blessing